Blog Talk Radio.
This is Obama at his most sanctimonious, demagogic, self-righteous, and arrogant. And given the baseline, it wasn't a pretty sight.
We have now run out of time. I told Speaker Boehner, I told Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi, I've told Harry Reid and have told Mitch McConnell I want them here at 11 o'clock tomorrow. We have run out of time, and they are going to have to explain to me how it is that we are going to avoid default. Up until sometime early today when I couldn't get a phone call returned, my expectation was that Speaker Boehner was going to be willing to go to his caucus and ask them to do the tough thing but the right thing. I think it has proven difficult for Speaker Boehner to do that. I've been left at the altar now a couple of times.
I've now been in 57 states. I think one left to go.
So when you guys go out there and write your stories, this is not a situation where somehow this was the usual food fight between Democrats and Republicans. A lot of Democrats stepped up in ways that were not advantageous politically. So we've shown ourselves willing to do the tough stuff on an issue that Republicans ran on.
All right. Good evening, everyone. We're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report. Today's date is September 1, 2011 AD. Beautiful Washington, D.C., United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. I had something totally different in mind for the show tonight. I wanted to be, you know, informative. I wanted to kind of get away from what's going on with our current president, because sometimes you can get burned out talking about this guy. There's just so much to say, but then sometimes you think that, you know, listeners will get tired of hearing about Obama, Obama, Obama all day long. But circumstances suggest that just one more time we have a conversation about this clown. And then tomorrow we'll move into something a little bit more interesting. Oh, and I'd also like to mention that Tesla, Annie, Southern Sense, David, and I will be hosting a 9/11 show. Three shows in a row. Starting at 5 through 8 p.m. I'll be hosting the 8 p.m. show. And we'll be going over 9/11. My portion of the show will be about where were you during 9/11? We hear about our parents who have said, we ask our parents, where were you when John F. Kennedy was assassinated? Or where were you when Martin Luther King was gunned down? Where were you when Malcolm X was killed? Where were you when Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated? That kind of thing. But now we get to ask each other, where were you when 9/11 happened? Where were you? What did you think? You know, how did you react? Did you watch it live? I didn't see the first plane hit, but I did see the second. I was online, and I just retired from the Marine Corps for the first time. Yes, you can be retired and then be recalled, which is what happened to me shortly after 9/11. And I was in a chat room, Yahoo chat room, African American chat room 1 in Yahoo chat. And someone said that a small plane had hit one of the twin towers in the World Trade Center. And I immediately turned on the news, Fox News, for Unbalanced, and I watched one of the towers smoking. Smoke bellowing out the side of one of the towers. And just as I was watching and chatting online in Yahoo chat, I saw another plane come out of the other side of the screen and smash into the other tower. I saw it live. And so on 9/11, we'll be talking about that. Starting with Tesla, then with Dave, and then with me. So join us if you will, if you have the time. I know it's football season, it's football Sunday. I'll have the TV on in the background, you know that. The NFL Sunday ticket, to be sure. So if you have the time and you can tune us in on that day, please do. But right now, let's talk about Barack Obama. Just a little bit. Let's talk about how he tried to pull a fast one on the Republicans by scheduling the meeting with a joint session of Congress for the day that the Republicans are holding one of many debates to come. Now, I happen to believe that Representative Boehner could have taken the high road and allowed Obama to go ahead and speak. The Republican debate will, in fact, be one of many to come. It's not that big of a deal. But here's the thing. I believe, as many do, that Obama was trying to get cute. He was trying to get cute and throw his weight around as president and ask for that date, figuring that he'd get it just because he's president of the United States. The arrogance of the man knows no bounds. And so, as a symbolic gesture, it was up to Obama, it was up to Boehner to slap him down, to take him down a peg or two. The president believes that he's all powerful. And every now and then, it's important, I believe, to put the president in check. And I believe that Representative Boehner feels exactly the same way. And what he did was, he simply checked Obama just to let him know that he may be the president of the United States, but there are three equal and separate branches of government. The emphasis being on equal and separate. And that he simply cannot call a joint session of Congress together and expect folks to jump when he says how high. There's a lot of anger on the left about the supposed passivity and lack of leadership shown by the president. And this pettiness that he's engaged in with this issue is just, I mean, think about it, folks. The guy went on vacation for 10 days in beautiful Martha's Vineyard. Oh, he golfed, he rode his bike, he barbecued, he had some ice cream, he had a tasty treat, all of that. So now he comes back, and Congress is in session the very same day that he wants to hold the speech. So he asked for the date for his own convenience, figuring that it's no big deal. I'm the president of the United States. Stay Mad's in the house. Billy's here. Beach Bum. I'm the president of the United States. I want to address Congress. Frankly, you and I both know that he doesn't need to address Congress in order to present his jobs plan. It's just a big show. He needs to make a big show. His poll numbers are collapsing. Independents, liberals, everybody. My dog says he's not voting. He's not voting for Obama. He's going independent. He's going with Perry. Rapid fires in the House. The guy's desperate. And so he believes that if he addresses a joint session of Congress, that the people are going to get the idea that he's serious, that he means business this time, because the guy has said the same things over and over and over again for the last 3 years, and nothing's changed. Obama gives us what we call in basketball, which, by the way, I'm no damn good at, so I don't even play it. I don't even watch basketball on TV because I'm no good at it. He's given what's called a head fake. He says one thing on one hand, and then he does another. He has got to know and understand that the tremendous amount of regulations that he's imposing upon businesses is hurting job creation. And yet, he keeps doing it. And then he blames Congress, the weather, George Bush, my dog barking in the yard, and everybody else when jobs aren't created. The American people are starting to catch on. And it's about time. I tell you what, one of my guys has really put it out there the exact way it is. And he's telling it like it is. And thank goodness. Thank goodness there are people out there who have seen the emperor with no clothes on, and they are calling him out. Unemployment. Obama, I created 2 million jobs. One of my good friends who lives in Georgia has a YouTube video series that speaks to these issues, and I'd like you to bear with me just for a while we listen to what he has to say. Now, bear in mind, who you're about to hear, for what it's worth, is a African-American or black man. And here's what he has to say about this 2 million jobs created deal. Check it out, because I thought it was very interesting, and I thought it'd be interesting to you, too. Listen.
Greetings, folks. T-Mont. Yeah, I'm back again, and I'm going to get on this soapbox. Just got through listening to Obama. Words out of his own mouth. Well, you know, we've created over 2 million jobs for the last year, and no doubt we still got a long way to go. Folks, if they've created 2 million jobs, why haven't the unemployment numbers changed? Going down. They're not going south. They're still headed north. Look, folks, we just had a meeting today, the company I work for, and this company is they're rolling out a new product, unified communication servers, blah, blah, blah. And one of the guys in the meeting that works for my company asked the question, well, what about when we want support? We don't speak Indian and Arabic. And the guy said, oh, no, no, no. You know, we follow the sun on technical support. Folks, let me tell you what that is. You know, effort to try and not be perceived as sending all of the jobs overseas, they got this thing called follow the sun support. In other words, wherever the sun is, that's where your technical support calls or customer service calls will be answered. Or guess what? Every time I call, because I work in the daytime, I still get somebody in India. Damn that. There's no support. Oh, I'm telling you, there's
even Cisco. When I call them, I have to demand that they transfer me to somebody here in America. One, I can't hardly understand what the hell they're saying. And two, the level of service is not what I am accustomed to. With the amount of money that we pay Cisco in support, give me a break. Folks, they cannot fix this. The jobs are overseas and with illegal immigrants. When will you wake up? You guys talking about, but you haven't given Obama enough time to fix the problem. He can't fix this. The jobs overseas, damn it. That's where they have gone. That's why people don't have jobs to go and apply for. Okay? And y'all just don't get it. Technology has changed things. And most of these folks providing you with the support, guess what? They read from a script. You know, some folk I can call, or if people call me in my company and ask me to help them with something, because I've dealt with the problems before, I've got experience. When they start telling me the symptoms, I just say, oh, do X, Y, Z. Boom, problem solved. With these folks, when you call them, okay, turn your computer off. Okay, now unplug it. Now wait for 30 seconds. Now plug it back in. Now, hold on, David, what you mean? Sir, let's start over again. Unplug your computer. They can't. It's so frustrating. But at any rate, I'm on this because I'm so tired of hearing folk talking about creating more jobs. We have jobs. Bring them back. Damn. And you know what? This mentality, a guy sent me a video, and it's the last thing I'm going to close. This woman here in DeKalb County, barely coherent in her language skills, was bitching because there was a glitch with the state and the food stamps payments didn't load to their EBT cards, and she was complaining, I'm not going to tell my six kids that I can't feed them tonight. See, I'm not talking about charity folk or people that have fell upon rough times, but I'll guarantee you she's been on food stamps most of her life. She's got six kids, obviously no man in the picture anywhere, okay? Six probably illegitimate kids, and her expectation is that we owe her food stamps, and the money is coming from the folks who go and work. That is just a part of the symptom that has come into play because this attitude that we owe you something has been perpetrated upon working American people, all right? And so that's where we get this attitude from. She's got six kids, and we owe her that food stamp money. I mean, come on, folks. Y'all, the Democrats and the Republicans are screwing the hell out of us, and y'all won't even stand up. That's right. You can't ride a man unless he bend over, and all y'all on all fours. T-Mod out till next time.
All right. My main man, T-Mont, I tell you what, he is on fire. I mean, he is talking about it, and he's talking about it all. And you know what? Here's the thing. I don't want to get into a racial deal here, so I don't want you to get the impression that that's where I'm going, because it isn't. But thank goodness we have a few Black people out there who see, because I'm going to tell you right now, everybody, I can tell you, I have five people I can call friends outside my family, because I have a very high standard for the people I call friend. I have hundreds of associates, and half of those hundreds of associates are Black folks. And every single one of them truly loves Barack Obama and will not hear anyone say anything bad about him. Their blood pressure tends to rise and they want to go get the butcher's knife and stab you with it or anything they can get their hands on. It's very refreshing and heartening to see that there are some people out there, Black folks, who are not drinking the Obama Kool-Aid. I'm very pleased about it. And my man, Tremont, he has a whole series of videos on YouTube where he is talking about all the things that are going on with this administration and all the things he's fed up about, and they are hilarious. So I urge you to check him out because he's talking about it, and thank God somebody is. So now back to what we were talking about earlier. With the President of the United States, Barack Obama, the man of the people. The portrait that we see of Barack Obama's presidency is that of an egocentric. Case in point, this fiasco with the joint session of Congress scheduling deal. We tried to get a little bit cute and got slapped down by Representative Boehner. And now that he's been slapped down, there are some folks who are saying that it's racism, pure and simple. If the president were white, then he would have that spot Wednesday night. But because Barack Obama is a black man, like Janine Garofalo says it, he has been rebuffed. It's all race. Everything, if you don't agree with this president, then you're a racist. Folks, I have this to say about that. Just as America elected a black man to become president, if this keeps up where you can't disagree with the man, if you find yourself in disagreement with the man and his policies, you're a racist. I submit that there won't be another black man in office for quite some time, Republican or Democrat. Because these charges of racism when you don't agree with his health care plan, racism when you don't agree with his regulatory agenda, you're a racist if you disagree with the color suit he's wearing. Everything's about race with this clown. And he does nothing to set the record straight. Black folks, especially black folks, believe that Obama is the president and he's all powerful. And he basically rules. And so he should get that spot. He should demand it. And, of course, MSNBC and CNN, they played the race card today and yesterday. It's racism, pure and simple. But this egocentric Obama is not only capable, not only incapable of leadership, but he's someone who views the office as a vehicle, in my opinion, for the satisfaction of his delusion that the world not only owes him a living, but a sumptuous one at that. I mean, Obama is living as president as if we've got money to burn. Now think about this for just a few minutes. Just listen to me for a minute. You're the president of the United States. There are people suffering. There are people without jobs. And most of it is your fault because of this overregulation and the fear of Obamacare and all that. You know that. You know it because you're the president. You know it. And throw in the fact that you're a black man, if you insist, and in the black community, the unemployment rate is at 17.2% as of today. The unemployment numbers are up, slightly down from last week, but still up. So instead of saying, well, how's it going to look if I go on this great 10-day the vacation to Martha's Vineyard. Ride the bike, hang out with the kids. How many times have I been on vacation? 22 times since I've been in office? 22 times? Well, hey, I'm the president. I deserve a little time off. My job's very stressful. But then, because you feel the pain, if you will, of the average American citizen, which he says he does all the time, you don't make a show of going to Martha's Vineyard. You go over to Camp David, which is a hop, skip, and a jump away, and you kind of just hang out at Camp David. Or you stay at the White House and just take a little bit more of a break than you usually do and let Biden do the heavy lifting for a while. But if you're a leader, this is how you handle things. But this guy is living as president of the United States as if there is no tomorrow and that the coffers are full and we've got money to burn. Think about it, folks. It takes $243,000 exactly to run Air Force One for 1 hour. Now, if you're flying 2 hours, that's a lot of jack, and 2 hours back. And I'm talking $243,000 an hour for everything that has to do with that plane alone. We're not talking about the Secret Service detail, closing of the streets, and all the other stuff that goes with it. And yet, dude has no problem flying off at a moment's notice across the country, all over the world. As if we've got money to burn. And this is a trait that Obama has that is common to a great many who espouse socialism, inclusive of dictators, Democrats, and Marxists. It's an insatiable appetite for self-indulgence. Don't you see it? Self-indulgence. Now, there are those who say, the president, the job is so stressful. He deserves some time off. He deserves a break. Well, excuse me. If that damn job is so hard that you have to go on vacation 22 times in 3 years, are you kidding? What about those corporate jet owners and those fat cat bankers and those millionaires and billionaires? I'll bet Bill Gates doesn't go on vacation as much as Obama did in the last 3 years. Hell, your average Marine gets 30 days a year. While those on the conservative side of the political spectrum are often accused of hypocrisy when it comes to matters of sex and morality, those on the left are equally guilty, if not more so, in matters of money, paying taxes, and lifestyle. Think of the folks in Obama's cabinet who have failed to pay their taxes. Think of Nancy Pelosi, who had that fine Air Force G5. Fly home every single chance she got in splendor, like a queen, when she was Speaker of the House, saying that it was important because of 9/11 and terrorism, and the Speaker was third in line to the presidency and all that crap. My man John Boehner did away with that. He flies coach. Nancy could have flown coach too. But Nancy was all about the trappings of her status. And she justified the expense, which turned out to be $43,000 per flight. Think of how many flights you could get for that money per year, flying coach. This is what I'm talking about. So regardless of the public image that Democrats convey and Barack Obama, Obama and his wife never failed to take full advantage of a lifestyle that would be the envy of any modern-day monarch, or potentate, or dictator. While the bulk of the United States of American populace struggles to afford life's basic necessities, and you're going to hear next Thursday Obama talk about the average American family struggling. The average American, the average unemployed American, and how it's important that those fat cats pay their fair share, and how important that those corporate jet owners pay their fair share. While he flies off to parts unknown having a good time. Now, granted, when he stays at places like Martha's Vineyard and such, it's at his expense. Food and lodging. That's it, though. The Secret Service details that are with him incur a massive expense. The upkeep of the aircraft. All the extras that go along with it, those are paid by you and me, the taxpayer. Flying off to Rio and other countries on a world tour. But he is, Obama is just another in a long line of those who promote socialism and proclaim to be one of the people, with only the interest of the ordinary American citizen at heart, as they duplicitously, I didn't even need to use that word, pursue a personal agenda beyond Obama's unquestioned belief and the unquestioned belief of those on the left that they're the most capable, the most superior, and preordained to govern the masses of you and me. The trait most common to the vast majority of the self-described progressives in positions of power are jealousy, greed, and a massively overinflated delusion of entitlement. Again, I speak to Nancy Pelosi and this need to fly the G5, the government G5, simply because she's Speaker of the House. And the guy who was Speaker before her got to fly the G5 right after 9/11 to secure his safety. And she should have no less. Meanwhile, Speaker Boehner does away with that whole matter and flies coach. Is there no shame? Did Pelosi show no shame? Is Obama showing no shame in vacationing? I pretty much guarantee you that in the next 3 months, Obama's going to be on yet another vacation. And then that idiot Carney, his spokesperson, is going to say, well, really, presidents are never really on vacation. They don't take one. I mean, stay at Camp David. Do you remember when Reagan was president? He would be at the ranch, or he'd be at Camp David. There was no lavish Martha's Vineyard excursions or flying off to Rio or any of that, or hosting lavish parties at the White House for a variety of movie stars, and having Earth, Wind, and Fire play for you, all three of them. There was like nine of them in their heyday, but now they're down to like three guys. But nevertheless, Earth, Wind, and Fire's there. Stevie Wonder's in the house. Michael Bublé. Who's next? You got actors coming in and doing skits. The guy is having a great time. He's living high on the hog as president of the United States. T-Mod is out there. T-Mod is angry, Rapid Fire. He is angry. He is upset. And I know just how he feels. Many folks in the West who espouse a Euro-socialist government model, inclusive of a implausible cradle-to-grave socialist compact with the people in order to garner votes, have toiled either in public office, government bureaucracy, or within the educational establishment. Private wealth is, according to the ideological first principles, ill-gotten. Isn't it? Take, for example, when I say ill-gotten, take, for example, those fat cat bankers or those millionaires and billionaires. No way they earned all that money. I hear folks saying it all the time. No way they earned all that money. They must have done something illegal to get it. They stole that money. They didn't work for it. The people who work under them, those are the real people. Those are the ones who deserve that money. And they can't spend all that money anyway. So they should give us some. They should give more of that money to us. How much money can you spend? How many houses can you live in? How many cars can you drive? Give some of that to us. It's wealth envy. There, that there is no doubt. Yet there is no psychological taint associated with the money accumulated by government through excessive taxation of these same evildoers, these same fat cats, these same corporate jet owners. Obama's the man of the people, you all. In order to pay for generous public sector salaries and lavish benefits, particularly those in elected and appointed offices. Remember, these people who are in public office are paid by you and me. If you pay taxes, then we pay these people. Our tax money goes to fly for Obama to fly around and have a good time and go to Martha's Vineyard. Every dime we pay for taxes pays for their lifestyles. Every dime those fat cats pay in taxes goes to the lifestyle of Democrats, Republicans, and certainly the President of the United States. Do you think the President of the United States, who is a man of the people, is sitting right now having a pizza from Domino's? Do you think that when he has a catering affair, that he's bringing in some, you know, some pizzas and some soda, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and some paper cups, and he's got like 20, 30 Domino's pizzas coming in the house through the back door of the White House? No. A state dinner, 4-5-star restaurant style. Taxpayer expense, all that's involved in that. Do you think the president right now is sitting having a hot dog with some mustard, some French's mustard, and maybe some Heinz ketchup, and maybe some fries on the side right now? Or is he having a fine filet mignon with the bacon wrapped around it and some shallots or something and some cute little asparagus shaped like a teepee on the side and maybe some new potatoes? Fine new potatoes from the White House chef down in the basement. My mouth is watering right now. So I want some of those new potatoes. I want some of that fine cuisine that Obama's having right now. I doubt he's having a hot dog. I doubt if the president of the United States right now is having Kraft macaroni and cheese, Mr. Man of the People, with the hot dogs chopped up in it. The Oscar Mayer hot dogs with the cheese inside the hot dogs, boiled and chopped up and then stirred up in the Kraft macaroni and cheese deluxe. Because that's what a lot of people are eating right now. Some ramen noodles. I tell you right now, when I was broke, that's what I ate. Kraft macaroni and cheese. I got one box. I got a package of Oscar Mayer hot dogs. Boil the hot dogs, cut them up, put them in the Kraft macaroni and cheese in a big bowl. Stirred it up, took the bowl, sat in front of the TV, chowed down. Stomach sticking out like I was 3 months pregnant by the time I finished. Ramen noodles, of course. You think Barack Obama's chowing down like that? No. Not hardly. No. A man of the people, Barack Obama is not. Yet, next Thursday night, while nobody's watching him. Not maybe a couple of Democrats. He's gonna have a great time. He's gonna talk about you and me. He's gonna talk about us, the average American citizen. And how we're struggling. And how those who have should turn over a lot of their haves to the have-nots. Because we're struggling. Meanwhile, the next day he's probably going to go out and golf a few rounds, have a good time, because he's got a stressful job. Right? He deserves some time off. He deserves to have a good time because he's the president of the United States and his job is so hard. A very difficult job. He is right on, Beach Bum. You're absolutely He is hilarious. So, hey, we've got some folks in the chat room who are watching T-Mont's videos on YouTube. I urge you to check out T-Mont's videos because they are, not only are they spot on, but they are hilarious as well. So, Obama's going to do his best every man a king deal the next Thursday. We're going to take a short break and then we'll be right back. Meanwhile, I'm going to drop Huey Long's Every Man a King on you, and then we'll come right back. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report.
How many men ever went to a barbecue and would let one man take off the table what's intended for 9/10 of the people to eat? The only way you'll ever be able to feed the balance of the people is to make that man come back and bring back some of that grub he ain't got no business.
How are you going going to feed the balance of the people. What's Morgan and Baruch and Rockefeller and Mellon going to do with all that grub? They can't eat it. They can't wear the clothes. They can't live in the house. But when they've got everything on the God's living earth that they can eat and they can wear and they can live in, and all that their children can live in and wear and eat and all their children's children can use, then we got to call Mr. Morgan and Mr. Mellon and Mr. Rockefeller back and say, come back here. Put that stuff back on this table here that you took away from here that you don't need. Leave something else for the American people to consume.
I remember America. Sure, you can still find it on a map, but nobody older than 20 thinks this is America. Even if coordinates are the same, we've lost our compass. You don't have a direction without reference, the true north. For America, it was liberty. When we lost the love of liberty, our understanding of liberty, it was just a matter of time before the rest of it was lost. Some think it started when the auto companies were nationalized, or the police state to control the internet, or when certain companies couldn't fail because their relationship with politicians made them too big to fail, and the rest of us, without political influence, were too small to succeed. Sure, that all happened pretty quickly, over just a couple of years, but liberty had been gradually devolving for decades. Some of the more astute, like Ayn Rand, saw it about 50 years before others. She warned us, but people didn't believe it could happen here until it did. Laws had been used to loot productive individuals and businesses, but in the new millennium, under Bush and Obama, graft, corruption, and crony capitalism were no longer hidden behind closed doors. The looters and their laws came out of hiding like rabid animals that were no longer afraid of humans. It was brought into the spotlight, and it was celebrated as enlightened economic policy. Ayn Rand asked the question in Atlas Shrugged that the rest of us were asking 60 years later. Which failing financial institution will the administration pluck from the flames of crisis? Which will it let roast? Which market or investment technique will the regulators bless? And which, in a capricious change of rules, will it condemn or outlaw? As John Galt said in his radio address,
you decided you had a right to your wages, but we had no right to our profits. You called it selfish and cruel that men should trade value for value. But you've now established an unselfish society where they trade extortion for extortion.
People who had never produced or managed anything tried to manage every aspect of our lives, and they brought production to a standstill. And eventually, they decided to micromanage the food supply in the name of fairness and safety. And we all know what happened then. Fiction can be a powerful influence, for good or bad. It's too bad more people didn't read Atlas Shrugged. They might have realized where this was heading.
Yeah, we're back with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report. Listen, Barack Obama got slapped down. Is it racist? Was it racism? Like so many are saying now, that if the president were a white man, he wouldn't have gotten the smackdown from Boehner. He would have had that time. That time slot on Wednesday. Is everything racist? Everything that you don't agree with, especially if you're a white person. No, check that. Because if you're a white person, it's expected, I suppose, in some circles. But if you're black like me, and you don't get the Obama phenomenon, if you're not with him, you're against him. And if you're against him, then you're against every black person and everybody who doesn't have something. I tell you what. You'll never fully get it to have a black president in office and say to people, no, this guy is screwing up America. He's spending more than all of the presidents combined. He's making a mess of this great country. They look at you like you're a slug on the street. I was in D.C. the other day over at Arlington, and I just happened to stop into the Arlington Cemetery gift shop, and I noticed a poster calendar, and it's got on the calendar is a drawing of Barack Obama and his wife Michelle, and it's simply titled "The Presidents." And so I looked at it, I flipped through it, and it was nice to see that there are more presidents. You know, all the other presidents are included inside this calendar. And then I said to the clerk, this is a nice calendar. I wonder if the previous president, George Bush, was on a calendar like that with his wife, Laura, and maybe the president before that. And then I said, if this calendar, and by the way, the clerk was black, whom I was talking to. I said, if the calendar is a calendar about the presidents, then why is Barack and Michelle the only two presidents featured on the front page, on the cover? And she said, well, because they're the current president. Well, then, of course, I remarked that, well, I hope that the next president, next time I come in here and we have a new president, I hope he is featured along with his wife on the cover. And then she said to me, well, I hope that Barack stays in office for another 4 years. And I said, I hope he doesn't. And she said, really? You don't want the prez in for another 4 years? Because that's what they call him in the community, the prez. And I said, no. The guy's a mess. And he's a moron. He has no idea what he's doing. I said, I want the guy gone. And I made sure to qualify that in 2012, at the end of his term. Because you walk around some places like Arlington and D.C., and you talk about wanting the president gone, you have to qualify that. Otherwise, you'll get a nice little visit. And when I said I wanted the dude gone, man, she gave me a look like she couldn't believe it. I've had folks say, but you're black. Like, what? What does that have to do with anything? Well, we've been over this ground many times before. Barack Obama's not the man of the people. He's a man out for himself. He's out for power. He's ambitious. And he's using you and me very much like Democrats and Republicans do. Except in this case, he's playing the Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson card, not just on black folks, but all of America, saying that he's here to look out for us. It's his job to take care of us. It's his job to see to it that we get jobs. Since when does the president of the United States create jobs? Since when does the government get into the business of creating jobs? That's not the government's role. But on Thursday night, the President of the United States is going to talk about how he's going to create jobs. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. We've gone a little bit over time. I appreciate everybody being here. Beach Bum, Solo, Net King, Rapid Fire, Stay Mad, Tesler, you guys are great. Thank you for coming in. I know there's plenty of things you could be doing with your time. You come and listen to my show, and I do appreciate it. I hope everybody has a great night. And please, if you can, come in with us on 9/11. I know it's a football night. I'll be watching too. I've got 37 fantasy football teams to manage. But I'll be here, and we're going to talk about 9/11 on that evening. Where were you? What were you doing? What did you think? How did you feel? We're going to talk about it for at least an hour. A Sunday night. Tesla's going to have his show. Dave's going to have his show. Stay Mad, Tesla. It's going to be great. Anybody want to join in, call in, co-host, all of it. Meanwhile, we got to keep the devil way down in the hole. Thank you. Everybody have a great night. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America. See Robert Jones.
When you walk through the garden, you gotta watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon. Walk the straight and narrow track. If you walk with Jesus, He's gonna save your soul. You gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. He's got the fire and the fury at His command. Well, you don't have to worry if you hold on to Jesus' hand. We'll all be safe from Satan when the thunder rolls. We just gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. Close to the Lord. Don't pay heed to temptation.